Hello, and welcome back to our KPMG FRV podcast, The Sustainability Report. I'm your host, Luis Santa Cruz, and today's topic is Countdown to Cali, because climate and GHG reporting is just around the corner, and the CARB is getting closer to finalizing the underlying regulations and guidance. We are fresh off Climate Week in New York City, which showed that climate remains top of mind for so many U.S. companies. We want to pick up where we left off in July, talking about the California Air Resources Board, or CARB's August workshop, and the latest instructions and information about how companies will adopt SB 261 on climate risks and SB 253 on GHG emissions. I am really happy to have Julie Santoro and Christina Abbott back, and another special guest, Corinne Doherty, to get us up to speed. Julie is a partner in our national office who leads sustainability reporting in the U.S. and serves as vice chair of our global sustainability reporting topic team. Christina is a managing director in our national office and also sits on the Greenhouse Gas Protocol's Corporate Standard Technical Working Group. And Corinne is our U.S. sustainability audit leader and will have a lot to tell us about her recent visit to New York for Climate Week, among many other things about California. Today, we're going to look at latest developments and final actions for companies reporting in accordance with California climate laws with only months to go. We won't dig into the detailed reporting requirements, but we do have some great resources on FRV if you want to hit pause to get up to speed before you continue. Our site is kpmg.com US Cali Climate, which is also in the podcast description. So let's move into countdown mode as we bring you the latest on California climate laws. Welcome back, Julie, Christina, and Corinne, to our podcast. So, Corinne, I want to ask you to start us off by giving us some of your highlights from your time at Climate Week. Tell us a little bit about the sessions you attended and the panel you were on.
Thanks, Louise. Climate Week in New York was an incredible experience. I was fortunate to participate in a panel hosted by XBRL US, where we discussed how climate reporting is evolving and what companies can expect moving forward. We kicked off with insights from New York State Assembly member Deborah Glick and California State Senator Scott Wiener on legislative initiatives for consistent, high-quality climate data. Then the panel that I was on explored the dynamic world of climate and sustainability reporting. And Louise, some key takeaways there included, first, the critical need for high-quality climate data, including GHG emissions. Second, challenges companies face, including navigating complex regulations, both in the US and internationally. And then lastly, the role of digital technologies in enhancing data management and reporting. And so additionally, I attended various sessions throughout the week at our KPMG hub. A lot of the discussion focused on moving beyond compliance reporting and focusing the conversation of sustainability on risk and resiliency. Additionally, companies in scope for CSRD, or the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive in the EU, of course, not today's topic of conversation on the podcast, but what was interesting is those companies are using the two-year delay to focus on implementing robust controls over their non-financial metrics. So overall, Louise, the conversations throughout the week highlighted that climate reporting isn't just about compliance. It's about building a resilient, forward-looking organizations that can thrive in an ever-changing world.
Thank you for that snapshot, Corinne. Julie, I wanted to focus today, now that we've had this great update on Climate Week, to really look at the final push as the reporting deadlines approach and CARB is picking up its pace. So maybe you could give us a two-minute intro on the latest just to get us going.
Yes. And hi, Louise. Nice to be back. It's going to take a little longer than 2 minutes, if that is okay. So I know that we really want to get stuck into it and focus on all the latest news and the CARB developments. But first, we have to level set because there is a lot of confusion keeping the two laws separate. We have two separate laws with almost the same scoping, apart from the revenue threshold. They have similar yet different requirements and similar yet different reporting timelines. And both are under development as the regulations and guidance are developed. So it's all just a bit confusing right now for anyone who's not buried in the detail like we are. So here goes. On the one side, we have SB 253, revenue threshold $1 billion. That's GHG emissions, scopes 1 and 2 in the first year, followed by scope 3, with limited assurance on the scopes 1 and 2 from the beginning. The reporting is due in 2026. That is in the law. And CARB's latest thinking is that the first reporting would be due by June 30, 2026. Now, that date is just a proposal and it could change depending on what feedback CARB gets. So that's the one, SB 253. Then we move to the other side. We've got SB 261, revenue threshold $500 million. That's climate risk reporting. That first report is due on or before January 1, 2026. No assurance. That date, it's set in law and is not going to change. So that's just separating the two laws to make sure that we don't get them confused. Now, CARB held its second workshop in August, but since then, things have just started to move faster and faster. So, number one, CARB issued a preliminary list of companies that it believes are in scope of the laws. This covers both 253 on GHG emissions and 261 on climate risk reporting. The list is helpful, but it is not determinative. Number two, CARB is imminently going to issue draft templates for reporting GHG emissions under SB 253. And number three, CARB has already issued a draft disclosure checklist for reporting under SB 261, climate risk reporting. And that's the one with the January 1, 2026 reporting deadline. So, Louise, that's the 2-minute baseline, two laws, two thresholds, two timelines, but both moving forward as CARB develops its guidance.
Julie, that was really clear. So I appreciate you providing that foundation for us. And now maybe we can shift to the latest updates and what they mean for companies. So let's talk about what Julie just mentioned, the list of companies in scope. Does that cover both SB 253? Okay. And SB
253. Yeah, both laws.
Okay. So Karen, let's come back to you then. Can you tell us a little bit more about the list? Can companies rely on it?
Yeah. So like Julie mentioned, CARB recently released a list of companies that are in scope for California climate reporting. I would not solely rely on that list to determine if you meet the scoping requirements for either SB 253 or SB 261. CARB's list is only a preliminary estimate that is based on public revenue and tax records. It is not comprehensive, and many companies that meet the thresholds do not appear on that list. So my advice is to work with your legal counsel to determine if your company is in scope for reporting.
Okay, thank you. So maybe we can now move to the two laws and start with SB 253 on GHG emissions. The deadline for reporting is proposed currently as June 30, 2026, and that's just for scopes 1 and 2 with limited assurance on both. So Christina, maybe you can tell us more about what the reporting is going to look like.
Sure. So maybe just 2 points right up front, and I'll just harp on what Julie had said earlier. You know, the clock is ticking. So we're looking at months, not years, until you need to be reporting your emissions disclosure. So SB 253 is just the emissions disclosure. You're going to report it annually, and it's going to be built on your greenhouse gas protocol based on at least what's described in the current information we have from CARB. Practically, what that means is you'll have scope 1 and 2 for your previous fiscal year. That's the first reporting requirement. You're going to need to set your organizational and operational boundaries to determine what that is. So you'll need to make a decision about that and be consistent, document that in your policies. While we're waiting for CARB to finish standing up their program infrastructure, Julie mentioned we'll hopefully have that draft template available. That'll give us an idea of what the standardized reporting requirement's going to be. You're going to want to look, though, to see, you know, if you'd been reporting your GHG protocol emissions before, you would have been providing some basic disclosures about that measurement and other information important to the reader. Even if that information is not in the template, you're still going to want to think about what that means for your measurement so you can support your measurement and the policy decisions that you've made. From a quality and assurance standpoint, you know, think about putting in some of your basic controls and pulling that information together, understanding what data you need, assign an owner, determine what your source is, and kind of some of those basic checks. You are going to need to have third-party limited assurance, and that's right out of the gate for scope 1 and 2. Talking to your assurance provider can also really help you understand what kind of documentation they're going to need in order to give you that assurance. So talk to them sooner rather than later.
Okay, so Christina, I know you just touched on this, but I want to make sure it's really clear. Scope 1 and 2 report has to be ready in 2026, but what is the period that it covers?
So it's meant to cover the prior fiscal years, our understanding. And so that would be, for example, if you're reporting June 30, 2026, the fiscal 2025 data. So if you have a March 31st year end, you would be reporting in June 2026, you'd still be reporting your March 31, 2025 information. That's just based on something CARB indicated. We will need to wait to understand what they include in their final draft or their final regulations. So December 31, 2025, you do still need to be thinking about getting that information. You've probably got the shortest timeline out there to get reporting in for June.
Okay. And what about companies that haven't reported emissions before? Are there any reliefs or flexibility? What's available that we know?
Good news is there is some grace going to be given by CARB. They have, you know, they issued back in 2024, they did issue a statement saying that they would give grace to good efforts. I can't remember the exact wording they used, but they want you to give your good faith best effort in measurement. And then with limited assurance, that is still required. So with higher level assurance coming in phases later years. So using this first year to get limited assurance, you know, test your scope 1 and 2, don't wait anymore. If you've been waiting for draft regulations and some more finality to it, we really would suggest getting started for that. And there are some other templates that the CARB was going to be issuing, and they've issued some FAQs. So they've really tried to engage with stakeholders and take in their input and be responsive to that in the next, you know, time we hear from them in a webcast or in their FAQs. And then don't forget about Scope 3 reporting. It's not required until 2027, but use this time to be starting to engage with your suppliers and in some kind of outreach. But first-time filers or first-time reporters for GHG emissions, you know, make sure you're ready to file on time, disclose what methods you've got and gaps. Be candid if you do have, you know, if there is some information. Be candid with your assurance provider, of course. But we'll be looking to what that template says for how much we need to be, how much is going to be getting disclosed. But they are looking for high quality data and they don't plan to be punitive in year one. So that is all good news for us. Maybe just one note on those that have been reporting, just check in with your assurance provider. If the CARB is going to really anchor to the greenhouse gas protocol and require, you know, very specific reporting in accordance with the greenhouse gas protocol, check in to make sure you haven't been inadvertently excluding something that would get you there.
Okay, so Christina, what would you say your parting words on SB 253 would be?
The date's not moving, so it's time to get started. Make those decisions about your organizational boundary that makes sense for your organization. Make some decisions about your calculation methods, where you're going to need to make some estimates or where you actually have the data. Assign, get your, you know, control owners and who's going to be owning specific data measurements, and then also line up your assurance provider. June 2026 will be here faster than you know it. But if you're doing these things now in this October, December timeframe, you won't be, you'll be working through a process rather than a fire drill in 2026.
Want to keep abreast of the latest on California's climate laws? Join our California Climate Laws, the Draft Regulations webcast at 2 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, October 21st. We expect to have CARB's draft regulations, so we'll take a look at those, plus other developments in this fast-paced landscape. You'll gain valuable insights to help you cope and earn CPE. Visit kpmg.com/us/caliclimate or the link in the description to register today. Stay informed with KPMG.
Maybe we can digest that for a moment as we move to SB 261 and climate risk reporting. So the first report's due very soon, January 1, 2026. So Julie, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what that reporting is going to look like.
Yeah, Louise, I know, I guess we kind of sound like broken records at this stage, but I'm going to start first with the reporting deadline. January 1, 2026 is in the law. That is now very, very close, and I cannot overstate the emergency. So based on the draft checklist that CARB has published, the reporting really looks like a very minimal version of a TCFD report. So that means using the required disclosures in the TCFD recommendations, not all of the other disclosures that are really just for consideration. So TCFD reporting has four main sections. You have your governance, strategy, risk management, and you have your metrics and targets. And then CARB has put out a few nuggets in this draft checklist beyond that. Number one, it includes opportunities, very interestingly, not just risks. Secondly, CARB is looking for a discussion about climate resilience, but a formal scenario-based assessment is not required. Maybe encouraged, but it's not required. And thirdly, GHG emissions are not required in that first report.
Okay, but the first report has to be ready by Jan 1. So what reporting period does it cover?
Yeah, it can. A company can do whatever is easiest for it. So CARB issued FAQs, and it says a company can use fiscal year 2024 or fiscal year 2025, whichever is the more reasonable for it to kind of get over the line for the first year.
Okay, and you mentioned TCFD. So for companies that already do TCFD reporting or something similar, it sounds like the reporting is going to be pretty straightforward for those companies. But what relief is there for companies that haven't done this reporting before?
Yeah, similar to what Christina was saying for SB 253, there really is a desire to make this as easy as possible for companies. So to the extent a company cannot comply, doesn't have the information, can't get it on time, it needs to disclose what's missing from its report and how it kind of plans to make that up in the future. This relief doesn't cover disclosures about risk reduction, so climate risk reduction, climate risk adaptation, but CARB has really been at pains to point out that they're looking for good faith efforts in the first report. They are not seeking to be punitive. And once again, similar to Christina, the reporting can be done at the parent level. It doesn't have to be done for every in-scope subsidiary in the group.
Okay, so Julie, what would be your parting words on SB 261?
Okay, well, I kind of feel like you know what I'm going to say right now. I'm going to say that the deadline
never hurts to ask.
Yeah, the deadline is not going to change. It is January 1, 2026. Do the best reporting that you can and lean into the relief and good faith efforts.
Okay, so we've really covered a lot of information, but what should companies expect between now and the year end for both SB 261 and SB 253. Christina, maybe you can take this one.
Sure. Yeah. So we are looking at a jam-packed Q4 for 2025. We've got, Julie mentioned the SB 261 draft checklist is out. We are expecting the SB 253 template imminently. And then as we look into mid-October, we are expecting there to be some draft regulations available. The scope of what that might cover might be a little more limited, we understand, but covering some of the scoping questions we've had, reporting mechanics and fees, We are expecting that around October 14th. So tune in for our webcast, quick plug, on October 21st. And we'll give some overview of what those draft regulations are, what we're seeing there. And then that there's going to be a 45-day comment window for those draft regulations. So if you want some clarification, get your team in place to ask those questions you've got, if it's related to parent level reporting, if you've got non-US parents, and that's one we hear often, and precise first year reporting period. What are those questions you've got that's in that draft regulation that they've been responsive to those questions the next time they're having touch points with stakeholders. So as we look then into December, we've got two tracks. We've got CARB planning to open their SB 261 public docket, where companies are going to link their risk reports, and that docket will stay open then into 2026, but your reports are due by January 1st. The comment period for that draft regulation, again, is going to close November 30th, and mid-December, December 11th and 12th, is the planned board hearing for CARB. That's when we expect they'll adopt final regulations. After that adoption, then their process involves, there's 30 working days then before that final rule, before it becomes effective. But in any case, treat this quarter as your build and file runway for 2026.
Okay. So Corinne, now that we've heard about what companies will need to report for the California climate laws, what should companies, and we always talk about this, but it's so critical, what should companies do now?
At the XBRL event that I mentioned that I attended at Climate Week, California State Senator Weiner stressed that the dates for SB 253 and SB 261 are not moving. And you have heard Julie and Christina both say that. So therefore, the time to start preparing is now. My advice for companies is to focus first on your climate disclosures for SB 261, since the reporting deadline is first. Julie gave a really good overview of what to focus on in terms of reporting for SB 261. The only thing that I would add is to really think about your reporting governance structure, and specifically who needs to review the report prior to issuance. So I would get all of the different departments and groups within your organization aligned, including the board, now, so you don't have that fire drill as you work towards the deadline of submission by January 1st of 2026. For SB 253, while many companies have been reporting greenhouse gas scope 1 and 2 emissions voluntarily, there are companies in scope that have not yet reported their emissions. And so for those that haven't reported, now really is the time to start getting ready. And Christina gave a really great overview of things to consider, including looking at your organizational boundary, creating an inventory of your GHG emissions, focusing on the calculations, and really importantly, establishing controls around the data and the calculations. But also engaging with an assurance provider early is essential, especially since limited assurance is required for the first year of reporting for SB 253. So if you have not identified an assurance provider, in my opinion, it's imperative to do so now. Early engagement will allow you to understand the scope and the timing of the assurance process, and it will help you gather the necessary documentation in advance. So this proactive approach not only facilitates a smoother assurance, but it also enhances the credibility and reliability of your emissions reporting.
A massive thank you to Julie, Christina, and Corinne for coming today to talk about the latest on California climate rules. It's time for The Bottom Line, where I spend a few minutes at the end of each episode talking about my key takeaways from the conversation, so you can get the updates you need, even if you only have a few minutes to spare. From today's conversation, I had these takeaways. Firstly, CARB releases. So CARB is expected to release templates for GHG emissions reporting imminently, draft regulations in mid-October, followed by a public comment period until late November, with final regulations expected to be adopted in mid-December. We encourage companies to use the resources as they're made available and stay engaged during the public comment period. Secondly, prepare for SB 261 climate risk reporting. With a January 1st, 2026 deadline approaching, companies should prioritize their climate risk disclosures. This means aligning their reporting with the minimum TCFD recommendations and ensuring all relevant departments and the board are involved in the review process. Thirdly, get ready for SB 253 GHG emissions reporting. The proposed June 30, 2026 deadline is fast approaching. Companies that haven't reported their GHG emissions before should start creating an inventory of their Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions and establish controls around the data and calculations. Fourthly, engage with assurance providers for SB 253 GHG emissions reporting. Early engagement with assurance providers is essential for SB 253. This will help companies understand the scope and timing of the assurance process and gather the necessary documentation in advance. Early discussions go a long way to avoiding those last-minute discussions around methodologies, criteria, policies, and other reporting matters. Finally, align your internal governance. Companies should ensure their internal governance structures are aligned and that all relevant departments are prepared for the reporting requirements. This includes assigning control owners, locking organizational boundaries, and choosing calculation methods. Please make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars so you can stay up to date on what's going on. We really do appreciate your support, and it helps us reach more listeners like you. We also have a really great weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to by going on our FRV website. It brings you all of KPMG's thought leadership in one place, and that way you'll never miss out, whether it's on this podcast or online. Don't miss any future financial reporting episodes. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll tune in again for the Sustainability Report.